What a reading. And it's going to be amazing to see what Minister Sean or Yitzhak is going to bring to us and show us what Yehovah has spoken to him about from that reading. So Sean, if you'd like to come forward.
Oh, well, that was fun for a start, wasn't it? Everyone awake now? I am. All right, let's pray. I think I need to now. Over another hymn of ours, we ask your shalom upon the meeting this morning, Father God, that your hand would be upon the darash, that you would share with us what you desire us to know this morning, Father. You would hide from us, Lord God, anything you don't want us to know. Lord, that we would only see you in this, that you would hide me behind your word, your presence, Lord, that people would see you. We bless your name, Father God, that all glory, all honor, all power be to you. We thank you, Father, you're the Savior. Lord, you're our corrector. And Lord, you are our lover. We bless your name and ask you to be with us today. Amen. Amen. Protector. All right. This parasha, when I started reading this parasha, throughout the history of Israel, Yah has sent salvation, tribulation, and judgment. Salvation, tribulation, and judgment. We have Adam, the story of Adam. We have Noah and the flood. We have the famine in Egypt. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Yosef and the salvation Yah provided there. We have Lot's escape from Sodom. We have Israel this week, this parasha. Yah's causing tribulation to come upon Egypt, and through that, the salvation of Israel. We have the story of Esther, of Hadashah, and how Yah provided salvation for his people and tribulation. This parasha talks all about the tribulation and the salvation Yah is going to do. The salvation for the children of Israel throughout this parasha required an act of faith and obedience, a soft-hearted submission to the will of Yehovah, and a choice to begin to trust in the goodness of Yah despite the circumstances we're in. Okay? And Yah was going to reveal himself. Okay. Exodus 6, verse 2. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Yehovah. I appear to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov as El Shaddai, although I did not make myself known to them by my name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. This week's parasha, Yah is going to reveal himself to his people. And that's the point. We'll get to that later. That's the point of the tribulation. At this point, they've known what Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the sons of Israel, have taught, but now he's going to give them a personal visual demonstration, comparing and contrasting himself with the vain imaginations of men. Okay? He's about to exercise complete control over nature, that he is all-powerful, that he shows that he's in charge of even the dominions that men have attributed to these false gods. The Egyptians are subject to his judgment. He is omnipotent. He is exercising foreknowledge of all events. He is letting Moshe know and Pharaoh know what he's going to do beforehand. He's omniscient. Yehovah, in this parasha, oppresses all the things that nations put their trust in, that people put their trust in. Our understanding of the environment and the seasons, he controls it. He can make it do whatever he wants it to. They trust in false gods. He shows their false gods to be powerless before his onslaught. They trust in military might. He can wipe them out in less than 3 minutes with a sea of soot. He can drown them in the sea. They trust in their own understanding, in human arrogance and superiority. Nothing can touch us. He can take what's most precious from their powerless arms. Yah is revealing that He alone holds all things in His hand. He alone is self-existent, and through Him all things have been made. Salvation can come from no other source. As we read through the Torah, we know that the Torah points towards the Messiah, because the goal of the Torah is the Messiah. Romans 10:4, for the goal at which the Torah aims is the Messiah, who offers righteousness to everyone who trusts. If you do not know the Messiah and our Yehovah through obeying the Torah, then your relationship with Him will be shallow and your knowledge of Him will be inaccurate and polluted. Okay? John 2:3 says, the way we can be sure we know Him is if we are obeying His commands. Anyone says, I know Him, but isn't obeying His commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. But someone who keeps doing what he says, then truly the love of God has been brought to its goal in him. This is how we are sure that we are united with Him. A person who claims to be counted in union with Him ought to conduct his life the way He did. Because for Jehovah is our judge, Jehovah is our lawgiver, Jehovah is our king. He will save us. There is only one lawgiver and judge, He who is able to save, to destroy. The Messiah gave the Torah. He is the King of Israel. He made a sacrifice to save us. Jehovah's love language. You know, has everyone ever read that book, The Five Love Languages? Yeah? Acts of kindness, attention, gifts, all those things. Well, Jehovah's love language is obedience. In Exodus 20, verse 6, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. For if you love me, you will keep my commands. Back to the basics. The beginning of creation, the Torah or the word of Yah, was made physical, so that when you look at creation, you're looking at Yah's instructions being made physical. Does that make sense? Okay. There's four main methods of interpreting Yah's Torah that we have in Messianic Judaism. We have the Peshat level. Does anyone not know what Peshat is? Okay. Peshat is a level where we read the plain sense of the text. What it actually says, if it's read out loud, by a person living at the time when it was written. Okay? Every word and every phrase and every thought has meaning. There's no word that's redundant or idle. Even if it appears to be, it is not. It's filled with meaning for us to learn. The Darash level. This is the level where truths and principle are presented. The Remez level is the underlying theme or story that is told when speaking of other things. It's how prophecy is laid down and the story of history. This level shows a plan for Yeshua's redemption and restoration. The Sod level. It's a level of mysteriously encoded levels. Anyone heard about the Bible code? Okay, Sod level. This involves understanding of numbers along with the meanings associated with certain numerical values. For example, the number 1 represents echad or oneness. 2 represents struggle, division or witness. This level also involves the meanings of names and the meanings in structures. Peshat, direct instruction. I am Jehovah your Elohim who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. You are to have no other gods before me. Do not make for yourself any carved image or any kind of representation of anything under heaven or above or anything in the earth or water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yehovah your Elohim, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. You are not to lightly use the name of Yehovah your Elohim, because Yehovah will not leave unpunished anyone who uses his name lightly. Remember the Sabbath day to set it apart for Yehovah. Darash is like a parable. It's the spiritual meaning in a parable. Listen, my people. This is an explanation of the spiritual principles behind it. Listen, my people, to the Torah. Turn your ears to the words of my mouth. I will speak to you in parables and explain mysteries from the days of old. These things which you have heard and known, which your fathers told us. We will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the generations to come praises of Yehovah, his strength and the wonders he has performed. When Yeshua was alone, the people around him, the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you the secret of heaven has been given, but to those outside everything is in parables, so that they may always be looking and never seeing, always be listening but never understanding, however they might turn and be forgiven." And Yeshua said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How will you be able to understand any parable? It's in parables because those who choose to follow Torah are his people. The mysteries of Yah's parables are unveiled to his disciples." Remez. The Proverbs of Shlomo, son of David, king of Israel. "You are to learn about wisdom and discipline. For understanding, words express deep insight. For gaining an intelligent and disciplined life, doing what is right, just and fair. For endowing with caution those who do not think, and a young person with knowledge and discretion. Someone who is already wise will hear, learn still more. Someone who is already understanding will gain the ability to counsel well. He who understands the proverbs, obscure expressions, and sayings and riddles of the wise." On the contrary, we're communing his secret wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians 2:7. "Which has been hidden until now, from when history began. Yehovah decreed would bring his glory. But the Tanakh says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no one whose heart has imagined the things that Yehovah has prepared for those who love him. It is to us that however, that Yehovah has revealed these things. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit proves all things, even the profoundest depths of Yehovah. For who knows the inner workings of a person except the person's own spirit inside him? So no one knows the inner workings of God except God's Spirit." The sowed level. "They are to make me a sanctuary," Exodus 25:4-8. "So that I will live among them. You are to make it according to everything I show you. The design of the tabernacle, the design of the furnishings, and this is how you are to make it." We jump down to 43:10. "You human being, describe the house, this house, the house of Israel, so that they will be ashamed of their crimes and let them measure accurately. For if they become ashamed of all they have done and show the elevation plan of this house, its exits, its entrances, its details, and all its specifications, its design and Torah, sketch it for them to see so that they can observe the entire design with his specifications to carry out. This is the Torah for the house and the surrounding areas on the mountaintop. It is especially holy. This Torah is for the house." In other words, the Torah has, the design of the tabernacle has in it a plan of salvation written in it. As you study, he begins to convict you of sin. Does that make sense? On a sowed level. Okay. "In addition, to help us understand these parables, Yah uses metaphors for his word. When we're reading the scripture, we can find out that his certain words have double meanings. For example, the word Torah can be represented by a man. 1 John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being. In him was life, and life was mankind. The Word became a human being and lived among us. And we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." 2, milk. 1 Peter 2:2. and be like newborn babies, thirsty for pure milk of the word, so that it, by way, may grow up in deliverance. Here Peter is talking about the Peshat level of the word. Oil. Let the righteousness strike me and let him correct me. It will be an act of love. Let my head not refuse such choice oil, for I keep on praying about their wickedness. Yes, provide for those in Zion who mourn, giving them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of heavy spirit, so they will be called oaks of righteousness planted by Jehovah, in which he takes pride. Water or wine? Hear, O heavens, as I speak. Listen, O earth, to the words of my mouth. May the teaching fall like rain, may my speech condense like dew, like the light rain on the blades of grass and showers on the growing plants. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You without money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come and buy milk, wine and milk without money. It's free. Yeshua said, if you knew God's gift, that is, who is saying to you, give me a drink of water, then you would ask him and he would have given you living water. He's speaking about the word of God. Next one, truth. Your righteousness is eternal righteousness and your Torah is truth. You are close by Jehovah and all your mitzvot are truth. Light. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Honey. The Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the inner person. The instruction of Jehovah is sure, making the wise the thoughtless. His precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The mitzvah of Adonai is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The rulings of Jehovah are true and are righteous altogether. More desirable than gold and much than fine gold, also sweeter than honey or the drippings from honeycomb. Hidden treasure. My son, talking about searching out the sowed. My son, if you will receive my words and store my commands inside you, paying attention to the wisdom, inclining your mind towards understanding. Yes, you will indeed call for insight and raise your voice for discernment. You will seek it, your word, silver, and search for it as a hidden treasure. And then you will understand it and fear Jehovah and find the knowledge of Jehovah. And finally, 9, seed. And he said to him, To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but for others they are in parables, so that in seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Now we've gone through and we talked about all of this understanding that Yah had put his word as so important and the ways of interpreting and understanding it. So why does he have tribulation? We started with this. Why so many tribulations has Israel gone through over and over and over again? Yah's Torah is likened to the water of creation. And when we read the story of creation, we have the waters above and the waters below. And what's the difference between the waters above and the waters below in creation? No? Sorry? That's right. Well, I'll put something else to you. Waters below get polluted by the actions of man and the actions of human beings. As water falls from the sky, it lands on the land, it goes into rivers and it flows down river. And as it flows down river, it picks up impurities, doesn't it? Okay? When we had the issue with the flood, Yah poured out water from heaven, the waters from heaven came down and the waters from below rose up and they met each other again. And he reset creation, didn't he? So he purified creation, he purified the waters below. So metaphorically, he's saying he was getting rid of the pollution. Does that make sense? Okay. And when he talks about his word being a metaphor for water, what do human beings like to do with God's commands? Pervert, twist, and change them to make up their own. Tribulation exposes the sin and its internal worthlessness. Tribulation is what he did with Egypt, and that's how he exposed, because they put their trust in man-made things. They perverted understandings of nature and deified their own knowledge and created things. His purpose with tribulation was to expose it as worthless, to expose the pollution, to reveal the perversions of his word and his instructions, both in Egyptians and for Israel as well, so that they could know who he was. That's the purpose. Yeshua is speaking of Yerushalayim and the coming tribulations that were going to happen shortly after his ascension, within about 40 years after his ascension. You want to put that one up? You snakes, sons of snakes, how can you escape from being condemned to Gehinnom? Therefore I'm sending you prophets and sages and Torah teachers. Some of them you will kill. Indeed, you will have them executed on stakes as criminals. Some you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. Okay, the next one. And so you will fall. And so on. You will fall. You will fall the guilt for the innocent blood that has ever been shed on earth, from the blood of the innocent Havel to the blood of Zechariah ben Bechariah, whom you have murdered between the temple and the altar. Yes, I tell you that all this will fall on this generation. Yerushalayim, 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 you kill the prophets, you stone those who are sent to you. How often I've wanted to gather your children just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you refused. Interesting, isn't it? How do we refuse Yah? How did Israel refuse Yah's offer of salvation, offer of protection? Disobedience. Right. And why would we be disobedient to our God? Because we put our trust in something else besides him. Is that correct? So we've committed an act of idolatry, haven't we? That's right. For me, I would like to stay in his wings of salvation. I think it's a lot better. It's a lot safer. That does not mean we're not going to go through tribulation, but that simply means he has a protection around about us. Does that make sense? Yeah. What is our plan of action for dealing with tribulation? Can anyone come up with it after talking about all this? Plan of action? Coming into it? One, when were we being oppressed by those who are operating out of pollution? The pollution, the perversion. And we've all run into it. We talked a little bit about it last week. We have friends, relative, family who are caught up in all kinds of things. Trust in the goodness of Yehovah to save. Put your trust in his goodness, that he is good. Okay? This week I literally had to do that. Came under such attack at work, came under such attack. You just had the enemy buffeting you all the time with all these negative thoughts about everything under the sun. And you just have to sometimes stand, take a stand within yourself and say, no, I choose to trust in the goodness of God. I'm not in control of the situation. I have no control over the circumstances, what other people are going to think, what's going to happen. I just have to trust in his goodness, that he will cause the outcome to come out according to his good will and his good purposes, both for what I was doing and for myself and my family. Does that make sense? Yeah. Two, don't get caught up in their ways or drawn into their petty arguments. Okay? Because the next thing you know, you get bound up in it. And you lose that trust in God, because then you're starting to trust in your own wisdom to deal with the situation instead of Yah. You act according to his will. You don't react according to their evil. Does that make sense? Okay? Three. What we've talked about a lot today already. Obey his mitzvot. We have to do it. We have to trust in him and preserve our loving obedience despite persecution. This is a testimony to those who have trusted in false gods and who are now crumbling. Okay? Now we're talking about people who are caught up in that's the best testimony of his salvation, of loving people, of caring for people, of showing forth his character for people, even people who are so far off track. I sat down this week and we've got a gentleman at work who has a lifestyle that is forbidden by Torah. And he'd been away, and I sat down to talk to him, and I said he'd been away from work, and I asked him how he was and what was going on, and he explained to me he'd been to hospital. And he was really shocked that I showed care and concern for him. The interesting thing is, nobody else in the office even asked him what was wrong or what happened to him. See, in this way, we show who we are by our love, by our actions. We show his love for that person. You know, all that sin stuff, he dealt with that. He can remove that from the person should they choose to repent. But we're the signpost. We are the clearest example of the Messiah, of Yeshua, of our Savior here. Sure, behaviours and the sin that person has is forbidden to us. Same as forbidden to eat pork, forbidden to eat prawns. We have to live lives that are holy because we are obedient to him. Okay? We don't believe that's right. And we stand up, but we show them love, and we show them that the blessing and the goodness Yah bestows upon us because of our obedience and our love for him. Does it make sense? It's not our job to judge them. That's Yah's job. He does a quite a good job of it. We've seen throughout history and we read today that he's excellent performing that at the right time. We can judge the behaviour. We can judge the sin as being wrong. But you know what? We should be expressing a hope and a belief that that person can come back to Yah, no matter what. And you know what? The people who won't respond to that love, who won't respond to it, Yah won't touch them anyway. It's because Yah won't touch their lives. Because I've met people who've repented from those lifestyles and have gotten right with Yah, and I didn't recognize them after a couple of months once they change. Yah can make such a change in people's lives. Amen. His goodness is greater than their sin. His goodness is not hampered by their wrong thinking. His goodness is not stopped by our pollution. The reason why he puts tribulations in place is so that he can preserve and save as many people as possible, so that he can show forth his glory. He can leave a testimony of who he is to everyone. It is uncomfortable for us. And Yah knows that. But that way he preserves the pure testimony he desires. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah has appointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to lead out into light those bound in darkness. Ooh. Who read this in the synagogue? Oh, yeah. Okay. To proclaim the year of the favor of Jehovah and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Yes, provide for those in Zion who mourn. Give them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by Jehovah, in which he takes pride. I would like my daddy to be proud of me. I really, really would. Okay? He was very, very happy with Yeshua. I would very much like to be like him. Everyone else would like to be like him. Amen. Amen. We'll move on to the Yeshua remember. Anyone have any questions about any of that? Okay. You know, just enough thought. Standing there telling someone you're in darkness, you're in darkness, you're in darkness doesn't help. Standing back and showing them the light of your life and the blessing and the goodness of God does help. Yah can put the finger on that when he desires, and he can put that on them. He can show them the error of their ways. He's really good at it without and dramas.